Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Generally on Thursdays, on my Instagram account, at Perkle, I usually post various memes with my alter ego, who is based on Snoopy's Joe Cool, so I present Father Cool. And generally, you know, I'll have either some kind of statement or as just basically the vicar is in, and I online, you know, put it out there if anyone has any prayer requests. And it's amazing where some weeks I get prayer requests from all over. And other weeks it's just sort of meh. Hardly anyone replies. And this week was kind of one of those interesting things where on my own account, nobody seemed to really pay much attention. But there is a Twitter group out there called Unvirtuous Abby, who in their irreverence are fairly reverent. And they generally try to point out some of the ironies and some of the hypocrisies out there. And this week, for some reason, they picked my little meme up. And so far, I looked this morning, and over 1,600 people have served it. Which, I mean, is nice, but what amazes me more is some of the commentary that was on their Facebook. And most of it was pretty positive. But on this week's meme, I have the Jesus statement. Article 1, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also should love one another. You wouldn't believe how many people who proclaim Christ was angry at the idea of love. It was funny how many people commented about me putting words in Jesus' mouth. And I find this interesting, basically, because these words came out of Jesus' mouth. And it bothers me in some way a lot that for so many Christians, the idea of love, what is the basis of our lives as Christians, gets them so angry. They want, for some reason, I guess, an angry version of Jesus. They want an angry, vengeful version of God. What they truly want is a God that doesn't reflect God, but reflects themselves. They want a small world vision of the kingdom of heaven, one that looks like themselves, that supports their hostilities that supports their bigotry, which supports their fear. They are scared of a true vision of Christ and of the kingdom in which each and every one of us is called to love. In our epistle this morning, which was read wonderfully the first time, I felt really bear a second listening. Paul is writing possibly his last letter to the people of Rome, and he's encouraging them to live as Christ has called us. In mutual love with one another, as well as to respect one another. He tells them to honor other people and to take care of those who are in need. But he also makes it clear that when it comes to their enemies, vengeance is not theirs. If there is going to be any vengeance happening, it's God's. Instead, when someone opposes you, but you see they are in need, even if you know that person hates you, if they are hungry, you feed them. If they are thirsty, you give them drink. If they're cold, give them a coat. Because we are called to be above that. To live in humility. To realize that this person over here, that person over there, like us, are all God's children. We're called to put aside our selfishness because our selfishness creates a vision of the kingdom in which there is very little room. In our gospel today, Peter's vision of the kingdom has gotten very small. Last week we read how when Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do you say I am?" Peter jumped up and said, "You are the Messiah." But now today we're just a handful of verses. They're still in the same place. And Jesus is starting to talk about Jerusalem, about what Jerusalem is going to mean to him. He's sharing with them about his arrest that's going to happen, his trial, his crucifixion, his death. But he also tells them how he is going to be raised from the dead. But Peter, because Peter is caught up in his own vision of what the kingdom of heaven should look like, misses the whole point of what's going to happen. He stops at, "They're going to kill me." And he does not hear the part about raising from the dead. And of course, he gets upset because even though he recognizes Jesus for the Messiah, he still has this small kingdom view of the kingdom of God. He thinks of it as an earthly construction, still having fantasies that Jesus is going to ride out there like some big king on some white stallion, and that the people of Israel will rule the world. He misses the point that the kingdom of heaven is not a secular kingdom, but one in which heaven and earth meets. One in which true power comes through humility, through graciousness, willingness to serve. That our first mission is to proclaim and live into the love that Christ has given us. And so Jesus rebukes him, telling him that he is a stumbling block. In other words, you're getting in the way. You're tripping up the work in which I'm calling you to do. Now, as we all know, later on, after many mishaps, Peter does go out to the world, and he does do his best to proclaim the kingdom of God in which Christ has envisioned, which Christ taught about. And we must follow in Peter's footstep by also going out there and proclaiming that message of abundant love. To put aside our own visions of what the church should look like and live into what the church truly is. In this world where I am witnessing so much hatred coming through on the news and being seen in different places, where people are chanting words of hate, threatening the safety of their fellow brothers and sisters, and doing that often in the name of Christ, I still have hope in the church. I still find hope in each and every one of you. Might as well use them for a prop while I have them. One of the ways I see that the kingdom of heaven is not being totally ran over by the kingdom of man is little things such as this. You know, Jennifer brought these up for me, and I know Donald brings them in, these little pocket prayer shawls. Because they're made with love and the hope that whoever receives them will find comfort and know that someone cares about them. I know that the kingdom of God exists because you all come together different times of the year to bring food and to go feed our veterans, not so much because they need the food, but so that they know that they are loved. I see the kingdom of heaven in so many ways in this place. And it gives me hope. You are that shining light. You are that bigness, that beacon in the darkness. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to keep up the good work. To live into this vision of the church that Paul speaks about in Romans. To proclaim in words and in deeds that God is love, and that love can be found here.